Well, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you all. Thank you for that round of applause as well from that little chappy sitting in the front. I'm absolutely delighted to be with you all and particularly thrilled to see people that I hadn't seen before, because that means that God is doing the work and growing people and bringing them into His church. And I want you to know that if I haven't met you before, I am thrilled to be here with you and to see what God has been doing over the years at Durban North. My wife, Lorraine, is sitting here as well, and we've been quite excited for this weekend. I want to say that a year ago, Jan contacted me and asked me if I was perhaps available to come down, and unfortunately I wasn't, and the poor chap, he was so persistent, he kept going and managed to get me in the year following. And so I'm grateful to Pastor John and Pastor Jan and the leadership of the church for this wonderful privilege of being able to share with you. May I bring you greetings from the Baptist Union of South Africa. Some of you know that I'm involved there nowadays. And when I told them what I was coming to do and so on, their eyes widened and widened. And they were absolutely thrilled and asked me to pass on their greetings to you. Pastor Lee Robinson, some of you will remember. I have a lot to do with him. And he passes on his greetings as well. And I don't have DSTV anymore, so I go around to Pastor Derek Stone. For some of you might remember him. And I spend quite a bit of time with him, and he sends his greetings as well. I've been given 20 to 25 minutes, which is quite a discipline for me. My wife will tell you that. And they've actually given me a few more minutes. I'm going to have to be careful here as I move, but I'm looking forward to being able to share something beyond just the nostalgia of the moment, but to help us to be able again to root this wonderful ministry of ATAP in the bigger picture of things with regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have in front of me a sermon script dated the 10th of February, Sunday morning, the 10th of February, 2008. And this was the sermon I preached about 11 years ago when we began with the vision of ATAP. And then I have another little note here, dated the 17th of August, 28. That's about 6 months later. And that was the time when we actually dedicated the ministry of ATAP to the Lord. In between, I don't need to tell you that people worked feverishly to try and prepare for that great weekend. I still have visions of Fred Smith and Graham Mundy and others. Fred and Graham are going to be with the Lord, but just to think back on those days when weekend after weekend they would work and prepare what was then ATAP at the back over here under the watchful eye often of Hellwood and others as well. And they transformed the old Morning Star preschool into the facility that you have more or less today. We were thrilled to be able to dedicate those facilities to the Lord. I remember at the time a businessman coming to me, quite a well-known businessman, and saying that according to the law of averages, coffee shops like this only last about 12 months. I'm so grateful that the Lord doesn't work according to the law of averages. Here we are, 11 years later, and I'm told that thousands of pairs of feet have made their way through those gates over there and been exposed to the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. Have you guys removed that clock at the back there? Oh no, I see it's a digital one. Okay, that's even more pronounced, and it actually shines at one. So I'm going to try my best not to look for the old round one, but look up there every now and then. I'd like this morning for us to look at the same scripture we looked at on that February morning 11 years ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. So if you have a Bible, you're most welcome to turn to it. Otherwise, follow as I read. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. The Apostle Paul is writing and he says, For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, probably a reference to the Greeks and the pagans of the day, I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become A, all T, things, to A, all P, people, etap, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. As we come to this passage, I'm not going to preach exactly the same sermon that I preached 11 years ago. I've reworked it a little bit, and I hope it's going to be shorter and simpler and possibly, under God, even more challenging. I want to look at three things as I come to a passage like this. I want us to consider the man who actually wrote this passage or who spoke these words. I want us to look at the message that he shared. And thirdly, the manner in which he shared it. Of course, the man who wrote these words is the Apostle Paul. And there are three words that come to mind when I think of the Apostle Paul, and particularly in the context of these verses. I remind myself that he was an extremely competent people, a person. He was one of the most competent people that walked on this earth. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 4, he mentions, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. If you want to compare me by world standards, he says, I'm not so bad after all. And then he lists his achievements, if you like, or his pedigree. He says, I've been circumcised on the eighth day. And I'm not going to go off on a tangent to underline how important that was in terms of the culture of the day. He says, I am of the people of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin, of all tribes. I am, as far as the law is concerned and the culture of the day is concerned, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. And you couldn't get it better than that. As to zeal, I was the persecutor of the church. Such was the depth of my convictions. As to righteousness under the law, it was blameless, absolutely blameless. On another occasion in the Bible, we're told that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the finest teachers of the day. Paul was a competent giant of a personality and a real leader. But I want to say, secondly, that Paul was also a rather callous man when it came to treating human beings. You know the story well. When Stephen, the first Christian martyr in the New Testament, was martyred for the faith, the people who stoned him had put their cloaks on the side. And who was the person who looked after their cloaks? None other than Saul, as he was known then. In Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. He goes to the high priest and asks him for a letter to the synagogues of Damascus, so that, the scripture says, if he found anything belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was a callous man. He was a man of competency and deep conviction. But I want to say thirdly, and you know the story very well, that there came a day in his life when he was converted to Jesus Christ. when this callous man became a man who pulsated for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know that very well. On the way to Damascus, God stops Paul literally and figuratively in his tracks. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 4, we read, "And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" My dear friend, that experience on the road to Damascus changed Saul's life. He became Paul. And he writes in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish." All those things that I mentioned earlier on, "I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him." This is the man who's saying, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win more of them." Let's look at the message that he shared. In this particular passage, I don't know if you noticed that five times, Paul says his aim is to win people for Jesus Christ. And then right at the end in verse 22, he says the following, "To the weak I've become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." His aim is to win people in order to save them for Jesus Christ. In verse 23, he shares another aim. "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Here's a person who's embraced Christians. Here's a person who once was against Christians to the extent that he was happy to murder them. But here he is saying, "I want to share the gospel, the blessings of the gospel, with as many people as I can win for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I believe that there are three words in this little passage that sort of sum up the message that Paul is sharing. He says, "I want to win them, I want to save them, and I want to share the gospel or the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as I can." And I believe that those three words are a guide for us today. ATAP exists so that we might win people. ATAP exists so that we might save people. Not personally save people, Jesus Christ saves. But bring them to Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. ATAP exists so that many people can partake together of the wonderful blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stop a minute and ask ourselves, what is Paul referring to when he says, "I would like to save people"? Save from what? When we talk about saving a person, we usually refer to a danger that that person is in. Perhaps the most straightforward answer to that question is found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Paul again writing, this time to the Romans, and he says, "Having been justified by his," that's Jesus Christ's, "blood, we shall be saved." There's that word again. "From the wrath of God through him." When we are saved, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we are saved from the wrath of God. So the aim of Paul becoming all things to all people is so that he might save some from the wrath of God. My dear friend, the gospel is the gospel of good news that God has made a way for us to be saved from his own wrath. And the way he did it is by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to bear the effects of that wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. Jesus delivers us or saves us from the wrath to come. Some of you are probably sitting back and saying, Pastor, aren't you getting a bit technical now? Here we are on a happy occasion, and you're talking about the wrath of God. Is that appropriate? My dear friend, it is extremely appropriate in terms of the ministry of ATAP. I've often wondered sometimes, and I include myself, whether one of the reasons why we make so little effort in trying to win others for Jesus Christ, whether the reason is that we don't believe that the wrath of God is coming. Many today, the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel is thought of in terms of just another strategy to help us to handle our psychological needs. You're lonely? You need Jesus Christ. You're lacking self-esteem? You need Jesus Christ. You're living a fearful life? You need Jesus Christ. And we could go on and on. Now, my dear friend, the gospel does address those things. But you know what lies at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's this: that we have already been acquitted in the courtroom of heaven from God's punishment of his wrath. And that lies at the heart of the gospel. And Jesus Christ takes hardened hearts towards him and changes them into hearts of flesh. And yes, he does address depression and he does address loneliness and so on. But praise God, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that lies at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, it's so important to remember that when we're involved in ministry. At the end of the day, the success of life is not whether we've made a decent estate so that we can retire one day. Not that we have a nice, wholesome, loving family. May God help us to have those sort of things. But at the end of the day, when all the chips are done and I stand before God at the end of this lifetime, there's only one question that I'm going to be asked, and that is, what have I done with his son, Jesus Christ, who saved me, if I trusted him, from wrath? And so the Apostle Paul says, he becomes all things to all men in order to save others for Jesus Christ. But it's not all bad news. He goes on to say that he wins them. He wants to win them for something as well. Not only save them, but win them to something else as well. And that is the alternative of the wrath of God. And the alternative of the wrath of God is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, not bear the wrath of God, but have eternal life. And Jesus goes on in John chapter 17 to describe what this eternal life is all about. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is this eternal life? The opposite to facing the wrath of God. It's just this: knowing Jesus Christ, knowing his Father through him, trusting God. Paul came to the point in his life where he realized it's not a religion, it's a relationship, a real live relationship with God through his Son Jesus Christ. So that was the message Paul shared. And he says, I've become all things to all men, so that by all men, all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. But I want you to notice as we close, the manner in which he shares it. And I find that in verse 19. He says, though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I may win more of them. You know what he's saying? In Christ, as a Christian, I am free. And in fact, the Bible says, If you're free in Jesus Christ, you are free indeed. And instead of using this freedom to walk all over other people or to point to other people and say, ah, you on that side, I'm on this side, I'm free in Jesus Christ, he says, no, no, no. I'm going to use that freedom in order to become your servant so that you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what this statement oozes, as far as I'm concerned? It just oozes a love and a concern and a compassion to those who are trapped in religion, to those who are trapped under the law, to those who think that they've got to live life by a whole lot of do's and don'ts and so on. And he says, you know what, I've been set free from that, but I'm going to bring myself to a position where I'm going to serve you so that you can come to terms with the freedom that we can have in Jesus Christ. Listen to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Again, Paul's words. You were called, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Some of these Galatians were going back to their old style of life because they were free. They could do this, they could do that. And the other thing is, no, no, that's not the point of your freedom. But through love, share one another. We are free to love one another, no matter what we like and what we dislike about one another. God, by Spirit, living in us, has given us the ability to be able to love one another. Here's a man with unshakable faith in the Lord and love for others, like the Jews in verse 20. To the Jews I became as a Jew, like the Greeks or the Gentiles in verse 21. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. Even to the weak, he says, I became weak, that I might win the weak. You know what Paul's saying? I'm prepared to meet these people where they are. Not to expect them to come up to my standards, but I go down as a servant to where they're at, without compromising my faith in Jesus Christ, and sharing the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, I believe that's the challenge of any ministry, and particularly a ministry like Adam. What a privilege for you guys to have a facility like this, and as I think was prayed earlier on, where the world comes to you. You don't even need to go out into the world. The world comes to you. And that businessman who's sitting with a host of problems and just wants to have a cup of tea in a little place called Atap that he might have been hearing about, and he just wants somebody, yeah, to talk to perhaps, and to listen to him. Or that mother that is beside herself with the responsibilities of a family life and so on, and she brings the kids out and they play there and she has a milkshake, and she's with her thoughts and wondering what the next day is going to bring forth. Somebody comes alongside with the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. And sometimes we forget that we're in the world. That's what we're trying to do, I think, at ATAP. And that's the challenge that we need to give ourselves every day, not only on the 10th anniversary of ADAP, but all the time, all the time. In love, we're prepared to meet them where they're at. If they don't eat pork, we don't eat pork. If they want to talk about sport, we're not the greatest sportsmen, but we'll talk about sport. If they got business problems and they want to just offload, we listen. If they want to talk about politics, and we're not into that really, but we'll talk about all with the aim of bringing them to the place of recognizing that those things are there and they're part of life, but they're not life itself. Jesus Christ is life, and Jesus Christ is the answer. All the time. We're keeping the main thing the main thing. The main thing of ATAP is not that cup of coffee that is being shared. It's a means to an end for God's glory. I want to close by telling you something rather ironical. I said to you earlier on that I'm working at Baptist House, and it's situated in Ruddeport on a hill. And those of you who've been up there will know that it overlooks Woolro Park and so on. It's quite a nice sight. Baptist House itself is quite a big building, and the staff of the Baptist Union don't occupy the whole building at all. So we decided to let out about 75% of the building, and an Afrikaans church group came along, and they meet in the school down the road. They get over 1,000 people there every Sunday, and they have an admin staff of about 18 or so, and they came to us and they said, can we rent part of your building? And we chatted and we looked at one another, etc., and we decided, yes, we're going to make a go of this and so on. So they've been with us for about 6 or 7 months. Next weekend, they are going to open a coffee shop. I kid you not. They came to us after about 2 or 3 months of being in the building, and they said, you know, would you mind if we actually took out the part of the building on the side so that we can establish a coffee shop? And when I heard coffee shop, my ears pricked up straight away. And I said, what's the idea of this coffee shop? No, no, no. There's so many people living around here, and there's so many of our congregants as well. And very often, they just need to bring somebody into a place where they can sense the love of Jesus Christ. And I said to the pastor, I said, man, you go for it. We've got their plans drawn up and so on. And next week, they're going to open, I don't know what they're going to call it. I've tried to drop the name ATAP every now and then, but it just bounced off. They're an Afrikaans group, so maybe it'll be an Afrikaans name. But I'm excited for them. And in fact, the pastor can't get over how excited I am for them, because I'm encouraging them all the time. And he comes to me and he says, oh man, the builders haven't done that on time. I said, start up, we'll get there. Don't worry, we'll get there. And next weekend, he's opening up that coffee shop. I told him I was coming down here this weekend, and he made a remark to me that has stuck. It's a simple thing, but it stuck. He said to me, Stuart, wouldn't it be wonderful to be in glory one day and to meet people who are there because they had a cup of coffee at a coffee shop on the hill here at Baptist House? And somebody took the trouble of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, my brother and sister in Jesus Christ, sometimes it's tough working there. Sometimes when you rub shoulders with the world and they come out with their way of thinking and so on, you wonder, Lord, where am I going to have the grace? This guy is getting angry at you, and he's pouring it out on me, and give me the grace to hang in there. Keep on keeping on for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to come to ATAP only to share the gospel. Down there at Checkers, in your school, wherever you find yourself, to hang in there all the time. How many people will not be in glory one day because of that cup of coffee there, or the time you took in your work situation where that boss is cantankerous and you know he's going through a difficult time, and he just can't handle it, and he's getting it out on everybody else, and you're just praying for that moment to drop something, not in a pharisaical way, but in a loving way, about the grace and love of Jesus Christ. And I want to close now and say to anybody sitting here who's never experienced that transformation that the Apostle Paul experienced. You have been against God and you can't stand these religious people, and perhaps you're here today under duress, I don't know. But God is speaking to you today, and you've come to see, as we've come to the Word of God and as we celebrate this wonderful opportunity, that you know what? The things of God are not remote at all, they're very, very real. You need to be one for Jesus Christ. You need to be saved from yourself. You need to be saved from the wrath of God. I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. We all need to be saved. How about it? With regard to your coming to Jesus Christ, humbling yourself and trusting Him
as your Lord and Savior and being part of this wonderful enterprise of sharing Jesus Christ. If you want to chat to anybody, we're going to have a cup of tea afterwards, I believe. Please don't let this time pass. There are many of us here who have come to know Jesus Christ and would be only too thrilled to point you in the right direction. Won't you join me as we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that because Jesus Christ died, rose again, and is living at your right hand, that we today are privileged to be able to offer freedom and grace and fulfillment in Jesus Christ through the gospel. We thank you for this ministry, Lord, that you have been so faithful to over the years, and we just ask that you will continue to use it to point many people to Jesus Christ. We pray for any of you sitting here today, and perhaps they've heard many times the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet you have just spoken into their hearts today. Won't you please give them the grace to trust you and to come to Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior. We ask this humbly in his name. Amen.